Will you stop trolling me on social media, Locker?
What did I do?
You know what you did.
I'm trying to make the transition smoother for you. He's going home.
Yeah, thanks for the Evander Kane post from the Vancouver Canucks today that he's wearing number 91. I really give a you-know-what number he's going to wear. But, yeah, thanks for that.
Who does he play with?
I don't care.
Did they put him on the same line as DeBrusque?
I don't
Pettersson.
Care.
He's not going to play up on the first line, is he?
The Saskatchewan Roughriders injury report is out for week four action against the BC Lions on Saturday. Trevor Harris listed as...
Drum roll, please.
Questionable.
So what's the difference between questionable and game time decision?
Well, available. There's three designations. Available, questionable, and out. Available, you're healthy, you can play. Questionable, not quite sure. Out, you're out. So
there's still a chance. So you're saying there's a chance.
As Corey May said, maybe going to be a game time decision against the BC Lions. As, yeah, there it is. Trevor Harris, head slash illness, questionable. And Corey May said, could be a game time decision for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So that's that story. The other story out of BC.
What's your gut telling you?
I'm still more leaning towards Jake Mayer, and they're going to be cautious with Trevor Harris. But again, I didn't. Well, I'll see. Like walkthrough tomorrow, they'll come out there, they'll run walkthrough, and it'll be pretty telling on which quarterback is going through the walkthrough for the Riders.
But they could do a walkthrough with Jake and still put Trevor in on Saturday.
Yep, they could.
Okay,
they could do that as well. Yes, absolutely. But Nathan Rourke didn't take any snaps at all with the first team offense when it comes to the BC Lions. So it might be Jeremiah Masoli for the BC Lions on Saturday. As we continue here on the Green Zone, got disconnected with Dave Naylor. We'll bring him on in a second here. But we are asking you as well on the Green Zone about Mitch Marner, number one, pretty well on the free agent list. So we are asking you, is Mitch Marner a guy you want on your team?
Can we clarify this question? Your team that you cheer for. So if you're a Habs fan, do you want him on the Montreal Canadiens? Are you a Vancouver Canucks fan? Do you want him on the Vancouver Canucks?
Yeah.
Are you an Oilers fan like I am? Do you want him on the Oilers? Maybe you're a Florida Panthers fan. Yeah. Do you want him on the... That's sort of where we're going. And we try to remove some of the variables.
Yep.
But, yeah. So send us a text.
Okay.
We'll get more into that later.
Let's get to Dave Naylor here on the Green Zone, our CFL analyst. Dave, I'm just going to start with the Luke Wilson stuff because that's all anybody's talking about across the Canadian Football League. Your colleague, the hot garbage junk football comment. Some things I agree with him on. Prep process, the cap on the football operations. I thought that was a pretty entertaining finish to the game, sloppy during the game. But what's your view of Luke Wilson, new sideline reporter on Friday Night Football's opinions on the three down game?
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I haven't heard anything on
that. I imagine there might have been a conference call or two, Dave.
Dave's a blue sky guy.
Yeah, I've had a lot of conversations about this with people like literally, you know, the guy at Home Hardware, you know, wants to talk about it. I'm not making that up, you know. And, you know, with my work colleagues, I come into the building at TSN. I'm here this afternoon. I'm making my season debut on the panel tonight, and I walk through my area of my desk, and every five steps, somebody wants to talk to me about this. So, yeah, it is definitely a topic of conversation. Look, here's what I say. I think Luke Wilson is absolutely authentic about what he's saying. I think he understands the game. He played three-down football growing up and, of course, played the National Football League. I think he has, you know, very few relationships around the CFL, which sometimes when you do, it's hard to be, you know, honest and critical about things. And look, and I understand that sometimes, look, the fans who love this league really, really love this league. And I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you something about the media that covers this league. The media that covers this league really, really loves this league. Like the CFL and TSN group, when we get together, we have different opinions on things, and we really all, one thing that we have in common is we all love the Canadian Football League. And I think sometimes, you know, that love can, you know, get in the way maybe of being more critical. And look, you guys have known I've taken my swings. 2 weeks ago, I took the swing at, you know, designated American, nationalized American, you know, all those kind of things. And one of the reasons I do that is, one, because, you know, I only do stuff I believe. But when I want to be super positive about something in the CFL, I want people to believe me. I want people to know that when I'm positive, that's not just always what Dave Naylor does. And that's why, you know, there's room to be critical. And I, you know, look, the stuff that Luke has been critical on, you know, has got a lot of attention. He's also been really positive on some stuff. And I think as long as he's not, you know, just, you know, spraying, you know, negativity about the league, but picking spots and making us question things that maybe we didn't. And I think some of his takes have been interesting. Like the yard off the ball thing. I got to be honest. In the last 48 hours, I've been just thinking about it to myself. I'm like, why do we have a yard off the ball? Like, it basically renders, you know, second and three onward kind of a predictable play. In fact, you know, Chris Jones, when he was coaching Edmonton, told me, he told his coaches, said, once we get to within 3 yards of a first down by second down, I've told him the ball does not move backwards. Like, no handoff to the running back, no quarterback drop back. I want quarterback grabbing it and falling forward into a gap two plays in a row. Now, that's not entertaining. And when Luke calls out 12 quarterback sneaks, I think he's right. And it's got me kind of asking myself, well, what, you know, look, I know what the waggle brings us. I could do 10 minutes on why the waggle is just, you know, a great rule and we'd love to have it. But it's actually made me think about yard off the ball. Yeah, why do we have that? Does that really make a better game? What if we got rid of it? We'd get rid of all these quarterback sneaks. The line of screen, you know, the goal line stands would be more interesting. I don't know. So, you guys know, going back to the COVID time and the XFL conversation, I took a lot of heat from, I guess, what Luke would call the CFL family from even considering that. Like, and I never, you know, I was not championing that. I was championing the fact that the league needed to examine it and see it through because it was in a really, really critical place. Sometimes when you're somebody who's been around the Canadian Football League for a long time, it's a hard league to be critical of because people feel like it's vulnerable. You know, they care about the league almost as much as they care about their team, sometimes more. And that's not common, I think, in fandom across other leagues. So, but look, I would think that the league is not terribly upset that tongues are wagging across this country debating the merits and positives and negatives of the Canadian Football League. I think Stu Johnson is a guy who welcomes what some people might call distractions. Because, you know, any conversation, any debate, any prominence, I think he would probably, I haven't asked him about this, but my sense is that, you know, he's probably not terribly upset with what Luke Wilson has been doing.
My question immediately was motivation, and maybe that's just because of the chair that I sit in this industry. And I'm wondering, I'm trying to find a nice way of saying this. I don't dislike Luke, and I actually really like what he brings to the table. I love him with Jay. I think he's great. And I wasn't upset about the tweet, but I'm just wondering, do you think Luke thinks he can save the CFL?
I think he thinks that he can raise the level of conversation and have people debating things that maybe have been considered, you know, off limits to debate or talk about. And again, I think that kind of fits with, you know, sort of, you know, where the league is going. It's just kind of doing an examination. You've heard Stu Johnson say, our number one priority is what's entertaining. Show me what's entertaining. That's, you know, no sacred cows. Let's be entertaining. So I don't know that he, you know, I don't think he has that grandeur that he can save the CFL, but I think he recognizes that he's in an independent place, you know. And the other thing about it is, you know, unlike a lot of the personalities, you know, that associated with Cover the League, his, you know, his recognition factor transcends the CFL audience. And I think that's significant as well. it's funny, you guys. I went, let's see, this is going to be 12, 13 years ago. I got sent to Florida to do a story on a guy who was going to extended spring training with the Blue Jays and was for the morning from like 8 till noon, then having lunch, then driving across the state and working out with a football trainer for his senior season at Rice University. A lot of people don't know, Luke Wilson turned down $125,000 from the Cincinnati Reds at a high school, and he hit cleanup behind Brett Laurie on the national junior team. Yes, it's kind of an interesting history in more than one sport. But that's where I originally met Luke Wilson, was, you know, going back 13, 14 years ago now. I think his presence and the confidence that he's got, you know, doing NFL football and TSN, I think he knows a lot of the players. You know, he knows some of the guys in the CFL because some of the guys, he knows from the NFL. So he just has a different perspective on it than any of us do. And I think sometimes for all the relationships and connections that people like myself and Farhan Lalji have and are able to bring you guys information and opinions mm-hmm. based on those, sometimes I think there's room for somebody who doesn't have those and is just, you know, thinking on his own and maybe just isn't as steeped in the things that we all kind of believe about the Canadian Football League and force us maybe to look at them a little differently.
Dave Naylor, our CFL analyst here on the Green Zone, getting set for Thursday Night Football tonight, the Elks and the Bombers. Who's starting at quarterback for the Riders and the Lions? A lot of watching eyes at Riders practice and Lions practice this week with Trevor Harris and Nathan Rourke.
Like, I'm going to go by the language and the optics and what we know. I think you're going to see Trevor Harris. And I'm not sure if you're going to see Jeremiah Mazzoli or you might see Chase Bryce, but I don't think you're going to see Nathan Rourke. Nathan Rourke, it sounds like, took a step backwards today, you know, had participated, I believe, more in practice on Wednesday than he did today. In fact, they split the reps between Jeremiah Mazzoli and Chase Bryce, which, again, if you think that Nathan has a chance to play, you're probably not splitting the reps between your number two and your number three. So I think it's unlikely that Nathan Rourke is going to play. And just, you know, I know Trevor Harris was a full participant today at Rider practice. I listened to Corey Mace's audio, and yeah, he kind of said, we'll watch the tape and make a decision. But, you know, generally, especially when you're talking about a concussion protocol, you know, if a guy's a full participant in practice, you really can't be well enough to participate fully in practice, but not well enough to play in a game. And, you know, with respect to him watching the tape, you know, that's what he says they need to do, then that's what they need to do. But, you know, my gut and instinct just from the language and the fact that he's full participant would tell me that this is going to be Trevor Harris against one of the BC backups.
Am I nuts for picking the Elks tonight, by the way? I should run that by Dave.
Be honest.
Everybody's questioning my mental health, my alcoholism, and whether or not I've fallen by picking the Edmonton
that
Elks
was
over
my,
the Bombers.
That was my favorite tweet. Was, have you fallen in the shower?
Well, here's one of the things to think about, guys. And look, in the CFL, there are some buildings that are really loud and some that are not. And, you know, occasionally some that are kind of a different tier. And we know that Regina can be a different tier. And we know that Winnipeg is a different tier. And from what I understand, one of the issues with Edmonton's offense in week number one was they ran into the Snoop Dogg crowd. And there were issues, just communication, getting in and out of the huddle crisply, some silent counts at the line of scrimmage, those kinds of things. So that's one of the things that's kind of got to get cleaned up. They've been through it once. Maybe they'll do a better job, but that's maybe job number one on the list tonight when you know what the Bomber fans are going to be like going into this one. That defense is playing at a very, very high level. Yeah, I'll be honest, guys. I'm not leaning Elks on this one, to be honest.
That's Dave saying, are you okay, James?
You
Dave
fell in the shower.
Yeah, you're okay. Hey, you know what? You know, it's one of these things. Sometimes when you see a game and it just seems so obvious that one team's going to win, it just that almost is like the red flag that it's not going to happen, right? So,
and it's a short week for the Bombers getting ready for this game.
Short week for the Bombers. I always point to, you know, Paul Appelese did something I've never ever seen in professional football. He had to coach a game with his first and second string quarterbacks when he was in Ottawa, neither of whom had ever been in uniform for a game. Think about that. Not thrown a pass, not run a quarterback sneak, never put on a uniform and stood on the sidelines. And he had to play a game with those two guys. He won the game. He didn't win that many games when he was in Ottawa, and he won that one against Edmonton. So there you go.
Huh.
Sometimes the strange happens. But look,
the whole
thing about Trey Ford is going to be consistency, right? Everyone knows he can make the high-end play. Everybody's seen it. But can he make the consistent throws over the course of 60 minutes? you know, to guide a team against a really good defense, and this is going to be a tough test for him. There's no question.
Hey, Jamie Knight's going 4-0 this week.
By the way, we need Dave to work behind the scenes. I know you're our guy, Dave, but Luke keeps denying our request with just one one time.
Yeah,
just one time
has said no every time. Shut the door.
How far does this go back?
2 years since he's been on the NFL with Jay Onright. Every time.
Okay. For someone who is open to the conversation of having a conversation about the, he's sure shut the door of the green zone.
So put in a good word for us. Saskatchewan wants to hear Luke Wilson on the green zone.
I think he should. I will. I don't know if I can, you know, I don't have any power over him, but I might give him a nudge and say, hey, do it. So there you go.
Right on, Dave. Always appreciate it.
Thanks so much, guys. Enjoy the football tonight.
And, of course, Dave Naylor every week here on the Green Zone giving you the goods on the CFL and then, of course, the NFL when that rolls around this fall on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Oh, welcome into a Thursday edition of the program. Still to come on the Green Zone, Micah Johnson's going to join us. The defensive tackle of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders will be here. He got fined today, by the way.
What did he do?
Today. That was for the high hit on Nick Arbuckle.
Would that have been a penalty last year, or is this part of the new changes?
No, I don't think. Was that? Britton Gray's joining us, a Green Zone Rider reporter here.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Was that the hit I was upset about at the end of the game? Was that?
I believe that was the hit because we weren't sure if Micah Johnson or Mike Rose had hit him up high. They kind of both got to Arbuckle at the same time. I think you disagreed with it at the time that, was it a high hit?
He ducked his head down.
Yeah.
The quarterback went, oh,
right. Oh, I know the hit you're talking about. Okay.
Like, come on.
He
now.
Got fined for that?
Pretty well any hit to the head of a quarterback's getting fined now.
But he did sort of look like he was trying to protect himself, right? So maybe that's part of it.
Anyways. Let's talk quarterback. What's going on? What's going on, Britton? We recorded the Blitz podcast. We were pretty sure it's going to be Jake Mayer. Now I'm not so sure anymore. Might have to do an emergency pod, as they call it.
Yeah, no, when we recorded that, I said I was up to about 75% Jake Mayer starting. That's once again now dropped back to 10% because of the full practice designation. Limited, anything other than full, I would be leaning Jake Mayer. But
was it full? It doesn't say full on the injury.
They sent out, I made sure to go double check because I was like, full, limited, what's it going to be? Listed as full. And when a quarterback logs a full practice, that is very good for them coming back and playing in a game, especially a starter like Trevor Harris.
I like it. Trevor's back.
There you go.
We did get a text that he hasn't played the fourth game of the season in quite some time.
Yeah.
So this is good news. We should be excited.
Well,
and then he's got a bye to rest, right?
A bye coming up?
Yeah.
Their byes are great this year, by the way. Like last year. It was
very
like,
favorable schedule for the Riders.
They had like 11 games without a bye, and then they played two games and then another bye. It was ridiculous. This year it's spread out. Which will help in the rest recovery time for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So now you're on. The Trevor Harris is going to start. He'll be good to go for Saturday train.
Yes, I still do leave that. There's still an option for them to go Jake Mayer. You have to wonder if it's one of those, maybe if Nathan Rourke's playing, you push for Trevor Harris. If it's Mazzoli or Bryce, you go Jake Mayer. I'm not sure.
I don't think they play that game.
Like I said, it was the full participant that makes me believe he will be playing this week.
So hold on. Are you saying that a backup on the other team might give the Riders more inclination to rest Trevor?
It depends if you want to push him. It's about, do you want to push him for this game if he's not 100%? If he's 100% or close enough to it, put him out there. But if you're going up against a backup, it kind of leaves you the more of the ability to maybe we don't rush Trevor back. But if he's ready to go, let Trevor Harris out there and sling it.
I don't think you rush anybody back this early in the season with a bye week coming back. But if he's, you know, cleared the protocols and good to go, as we now pretty well believe he was trying to clear concussion protocol to play in this one, and maybe good to go against the BC Lions coming up. But some of the other injury report, we were watching a few other players this week. It does look like Tavon Campbell, he did not participate, then limited, now full. Mm-hmm. So he is available for the game. Keyshawn Johnson, for a personal issue, was another one we were keeping an eye on. But Sam Emelis still out of the lineup. So
quite the Charlie horse. Sam Emelis.
That's now a foot injury. Have we seen Sam around at
all? He has been around. He has been out there the past couple of days, just in a hoodie. You've noticed him. He's there. This is one of those, don't rush a guy back. You need Sam Emelis for the long haul this season. You have a bye coming up. And this year, more than other years, it feels like if you're missing, now, well, I guess the Riders are missing two guys, Keane Schaefer-Baker as well. You do have the guys there who can step up and be your number one for at least a game. Dante Myers, Keyshawn Johnson. Maybe this is Dell Duncan Busby week, right? Every receiver's had their week so far. Maybe it's his turn to reach that 100-yard mark.
There has been quite a bit of, because last year it was the O-line. At the beginning of the season, it was the O-line. And now we're dealing with the receivers. It's interesting. Is this team just good at making sure they got the depth and making sure the depth is ready to go? Because last year, I remember everyone was like, I can't believe how effective this team is at filling these holes in the O-line. And now we're seeing it with the wide receiver injury issues.
In defense, too, last year, no one expected 13 different offensive linemen. That's where it came from, was they had to bring guys in for a week to just have them play. That's the concerns there. But we said it ahead of the season, during the training camp, after free agency, this team's depth is there. They might be the deepest team in the entire CFL when you look at who they have when healthy, and you're seeing it already pay dividends.
Britton Gray, Green Zone Rider Reporter with the Daily Blitz here on the Green Zone. You can check it out on socials as well with his Daily Rider Reports from practice. You don't think the Elks have a chance tonight, Britton, as we set up week four of the CFL?
Well, I think there's a chance. I'm not picking them. I wouldn't pick them.
You'd be crazy to pick them, right?
Who would pick them?
Like, what would you be thinking? Would it be like a fall in the shower?
But I do like the kind of, I always like the mystery that is Trey Ford. I do like that in any game he can take it over and absolutely win a game by himself. And hey, I'm the guy who's been here saying the Winnipeg Blue Bombers will take a step back, and this could be one of those games.
Preach!
Because I'm still not impressed with Zach Collaros.
The Lions have only played the BC, or the Bombers have only played the BC Lions. That's it. They've only played two games against one team. We have no idea what they'll be up against with the Edmonton Elks. They don't know. We don't know how they match up against them yet.
All right. Okay. I have a question about the letdown for a quarterback like Jake.
He gets getting ready all week and then you're not in.
I mean, listen, I know what they'll say if Britton puts a mic in front of his face after Trevor Harris comes back and does a full practice today. I understand what he has to say, but you gotta wonder about mentally the impact of a guy that's sitting on the outside looking in, and then he's like, okay, I got my chance. Trevor took one on the chin on Friday. I better be ready to go. Oh, he's not a looks like I'm in. Oh! That's got to have an impact on these guys. No?
If you mentally can't handle that, you shouldn't be a pro athlete.
Okay.
If you mentally can't handle the fact that you're the backup and the starter's ready to go and, oh, shucks, I can't play this week, it's going to suck. It's like it hurts. But you have to be mentally able to move past that. Otherwise, you shouldn't be a pro athlete. Jake Mayer, he's been a starting quarterback in this league. He was a starter. He has to earn that right to be a starter again. Unfortunately, you have to wait your turn, and that's part of the business. And mentally, you have to be willing to do that.
I'm not sure I'd be able to do it.
Hamilton and Montreal Friday. Who you got on that one?
We both picked Hamilton. There we like that as an upset spot. With no Davis Alexander, why not?
We'll get his rider pick tomorrow here on the Green Zone, as well as the rest of week four in the CFL. It's the Daily Blitz with Britton Gray. You can check out all his work, cjme.com, ckom.com.
You can find all our picks already on The Blitz Podcast.
The Blitz Podcast. It's on YouTube. You can find it right now.
It's also the fastest growing CFL podcast in Canada. Check it out.
According to Locker.
Don't miss it. Really good on Spotify. Don't have to look at them.
It is on YouTube as well.
It's on YouTube. You can actually watch us.
Spotify's awesome.
Maybe one week I have to have one of my dogs make an appearance.
And well, then... one of your dogs
made tune in for that.
Yeah. One of your dogs made an appearance today. Audibly, not visually, as I made a suggestion about the Canadian Football League schedule should be Fridays and Saturdays only. One game Friday night, football prime time, and then all three games, two of them at the same time.
Yeah.
And then a primetime game on Saturday. And I said, I know that's not good news for the rec laws. And then I hear in the background, roo, roo. I'm like, ooh. Evidently one of Britain's dogs
support
is a fan of
the
rec laws. So, was it Marley? Marley's a fan of the rec laws too, apparently. Didn't like that suggestion for the schedule makers. Coming up next, Shane Clausing will be in with a look at one of the top prospects in the National Hockey League draft, and he's from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. That features next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on a Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow is round one of the NHL entry draft. And when you look at the top of the rankings, there's a few Saskatchewan players. Cole Reschny from Macklin, Saskatchewan. And of course, in the top 10, could you see Roger McQueen of Saskatoon be selected among the top picks in the National Hockey League draft? Are Shane Clausing caught up to McQueen ahead of his draft night?
Roger McQueen waited his whole life for a chance to get to play in the NHL.
It's pretty cool. Just kind of working towards it my whole life, so it's one of those kind of achievements that you get, I guess, and on the way to there. So I'm obviously super pumped, and I have a lot of family around me that are super excited for me and my friends. So I'm couldn't tell you how happy I am and excited to have this coming up.
McQueen might be the most intriguing prospect in this year's NHL draft. The 6'5", 198-pound center for the Brandon Wheat Kings is everything scouts want in a hockey player. He scores, he's skilled, he's big, and he's strong.
McQueen at the left with room to walk in. McQueen holds, fires, scores! Roger McQueen, the hottest hand in the Western Hockey League, stays sizzling!
For most of the year, scouts had McQueen going in the top five of the draft. Some lists even had him as high as number three. But that rise up the draft rankings came to a screeching halt earlier this year after injuries plagued his draft year, causing scouts to second guess.
The 6'5", right shot Brandon Wheat King center has all the physical and offensive tools to make big waves, but his injury status looms large right now, and NHL teams want a lot more information before they're ready to draft him.
McQueen missed 5 months last season because of a fracture in his back. He admits getting through that injury wasn't easy.
I was at the rink every day in Brandon when I was there, and when they were gone on road trips, I came home and have such a great supporting cast and my family and friends, but also I think just learning lessons on how to stay positive and kind of stay in my own lane. There wasn't a whole lot I could do about it, so it wasn't something I could change, so just accepting it and taking the goods out of the bad, so just taking the positive side of it, and ended up working, and I think really helped me in the long run just in the sense of my mental side of the game.
McQueen insists he's healthy and ready to move past the injury. In the last month, he spoke with 24 teams about playing for them. In those interviews, he said Montreal had one question that stood out.
Best question was probably what animal I was on the ice and off the ice. I picked a horse just because they're good with people. So, yeah, it was just one that caught me off guard.
McQueen tells me he has no idea where he's going to end up in the NHL draft, but he's excited for it.
I try not to focus on it too much. I'm just excited to get to a team and try and make that. Kind of the injury this year was obviously tough having that go through, but I think it really, really will help me out in the end. And I think, yeah, just trying to take it day by day and just enjoying it. Kind of it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of opportunity, so just enjoying the process.
In Saskatoon, I'm Shane Clausing.
That is Shane Clausing with a look at Roger McQueen. He is one of the top prospects heading into tomorrow's NHL entry draft out of Saskatoon. Played in Brandon. The other one, of course, is Reshny, who comes from Macklin, played in Victoria. And we talk to Craig Button for tomorrow ahead of the draft with a preview. We talk about these two players from Saskatchewan.
Well, McQueen's one of those kids that could end up, like,
who knows?
Yeah.
Like Button, Craig Button on his draft show.
Called him the wild card.
He's like the biggest wild card in this draft. If he was healthy all year, probably a top five pick. But he wasn't. So there might be concern about a back injury.
Some
so
back
maybe
issues.
He slides down in past 10.
Yeah.
Or, like, that's
Matthew Schaefer played 17 games last year, and he's still projected to go number one.
New York Islanders won the draft lottery. Evan Bray, I think, has already, has he bought a Schaefer jersey yet? He might have. Or is he an Oiler fan? I forget from day to
there
day.
There is, like, in New York, in Long Island, there's a campaign for the Islanders to grab Higgins, which he's a local kid. They've got bumper stickers. Like, that town wants Schaefer's going number one, and the Islanders
congrats
should be crazy.
To them. They're not picking Higgins. They're not. You like, in all of all the fan campaigns you want, it's going to be Matthew Schaefer.
But I wonder if the Islanders find a way to
trade
make
up.
That work so that they can get both those. Anyway, we'll leave it at that.
Well, it could be an interesting night. A lot of teams with multiple picks in that first round, too. I think might be
I think it's going to be a crazy draft, too, because there's a lot of parity, too, right?